Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Please note that the information and advice provided via the Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed or substituted for professional medical advice, counselling, or any other type of therapy or professional advice. I do not provide specific medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And if you have any concerns about a medical condition, please consult with your GP or other qualified healthcare provider. Please do not disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking it because of something you've heard whilst listening to this podcast. Hi everyone, I'm Rada.
And I'm Giles.
And we're your trusted guides for the Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast. The podcast that helps you remember, relearn, rediscover and be inspired by others about what might help you feel good on this journey that we call life.
And we're starting right now on our journey to discover those things you forgot were good for you and inspire you to remember them. So without further ado, let's talk about this week's theme. Looking at career opportunities after 50, we are excited to be working alongside the Department for Education on this episode on their campaign. The campaign aims to highlight how industry professionals already have the skills needed to teach in further education.
Today, we're exploring ways to invigorate your career and who you are as a professional. We know the day-to-day can feel mundane after 10, 20, especially 30 plus years in your industry. So what can we do to make it exciting and keep it fresh? For us to have longevity in our careers and our work life, we need to have variety and to feel like we're constantly progressing and evolving.
There's been a lot of press recently about the challenges that older age groups may have finding work or starting a new path in their career. We want to explore attitudes to people who are over 50 and work and career change. These are our individuals who have a wealth of experience and skill set, and it is so fundamental to do things to keep them in the workforce and not lose them. Further education is one avenue to support individuals to do this.
Today we're speaking to someone who's worked in health and social care for a long time, but later decided to take the plunge and teach their profession part-time in further education. Sharon is here to tell us about the power of utilising your existing industry and workplace skills as a teacher and the flexibility that comes with that job.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's so lovely to see you and thank you for your time. Now, am I right in thinking you spent quite a lot of time of your early career in health and social care? I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about the sorts of things that you were doing and how you got into doing that in the first place.
My first career was in health and social care. So I came to the UK when I was about 19. And went straight to college. And because I was a foreign student, I had to pay for my college. So I had to get a part-time job. And I found that care work was more flexible. And at 19, I didn't have a lot of experience. But because I grew up in an African family where you look after your grandparents and everything, I had that experience of looking after older people. I was raised by my grandma anyway, so... So that's how I got into care, because it was working. I joined an agency to work with the elderly. So it had the flexibility of going in the morning to help them get washed and dressed and have their breakfast. And then I would go to college. Maybe somebody will pop in for lunch for them. And then I would go in the evening to help them get dressed for bedtime and give them their tea and stuff like that. So I did that for quite a few years. And then weekends, I would go in and work in a residential home for people with dementia. So, so I did that for 7 years. When I finished college and went to university, that's just how I paid for my education, really, until I finished university. But by the time I finished uni, I was doing a business degree, believe it or not.
You're a busy lady, Sharon. You're a busy lady.
I had been working in care for 7 years, and I had fallen in love with social care. I enjoyed the job. So I decided to start getting qualifications in that industry so I could stay in that industry. So I did vocational courses like NVQs that they had then, and then worked my way up from being a carer to an assistant care manager. Mm. That's what I did for Westminster City Council, which is like an unqualified social worker. So I would go into older people's homes to assess them for the care that they need and then arrange the care package and stuff. And then eventually when I decided to go onto the property ladder, which I couldn't do in London on those salaries, I moved out of London and moved to Ipswich. And the job I got there was to work as an assistant manager at a care home. So that's what I did. So that was kind of the 14-year journey working with older people or with the elderly.
Wow, that's incredible. And what I loved about how you started your story was, my first career was, because that's, you know, I think you know, many decades ago, people would only think about, you know, a job for life or one career or I am ... and that's it. Whereas obviously now, you know, with the society we live in, the world we live in, people are constantly evolving, changing careers, and actually the our ability, I suppose, to evolve and to adapt and kind of move and transfer our skills is becoming even more important. That's, I mean, your incredible experience, 14 years, I think you said, of working in social care must have then given you a really great foundation on which to kind of go into your next sort of step of your journey, which is about further education teaching, isn't it? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So after 14 years of working in care, I started getting a lot of big back pain. And it's a job where you're involved with people, you're washing, dressing people, supporting people with mobilizing, you know, walking and stuff. So it was taking a toll. So I thought, I want to do something where I still work with people, but use the skills that I've got. And I was very passionate about health and social care anyway. It's an industry I now knew and loved. So I thought, because when I was an assistant care manager, we were recruiting all the time carers that come in. And some of the people that came in, you could see that they didn't have the right skills or even the passion for the job as well. They were just doing it, just like I started, because of the flexibility or the money, you know, and stuff. So I thought, if I could teach what I've learned in the 14 years and possibly share some of my passion for that industry with other people, then that would be the next step. So initially I thought it was going to be so complicated. I would have to do a degree in teaching, and then whether there was a degree in teaching health and social care, I wasn't sure. So I started looking into all that. I was prepared to go back to university and do another degree or another qualification to help me change the careers. So while I was looking for courses to do, I then found a job, a lecturer's job. It said, you know, lecturer in health and social care. And then when I looked at the person's specification, it said, you know, no need for teaching qualification, industry knowledge needed. You know, and I thought, well, I've got 14 years of that.
Yeah, you've got plenty of that, Sharon.
You know, so I literally applied for the job. Within 2 weeks, I was sitting in front of an interview panel. I had to, as part of the interview process, just do a mini lesson. So I had to teach on equality and diversity. for 20 minutes to the panel, which I did. And then that was it. And then I got the job.
Wow.
And then I started working, and then I started doing my teaching qualification while I was already working and on a full salary. So it wasn't like, because you're not qualified as a teacher, you won't get the amount. So yeah, so it was a full salary. So it was a, it was almost like when you move from one job to another, and then, you know, you learn the ropes in that new job.
Wow.
So yes, so that's how I got into teaching.
That's an incredible, incredible story. And I mean, because obviously there's been a lot of press recently around trying to keep sort of older people or people over sort of 50 in the workforce and kind of as part of that kind of working community. Do you mind me asking what age you were when you sort of took that leap into further education teaching?
I'd started working in care when I was 19, and I did that for 14 years. Mm. So that took me to about 33.
Yes.
So yeah, I was 33, 34 yes. when I went into teaching.
Yes, yeah. And did you, yeah. I mean, obviously at any stage of our careers, or if we move into different areas of doing something, there's always a bit of trepidation, isn't there? And a bit of fear. Can I do this? Can I manage it? You know, and I think we're a little bit more used to that when we're younger, because we tend to shift things faster, don't we? We have sort of maybe one school then another, then maybe college or something like that. How did you kind of get over some of those fears, if you like? So for people listening who might be thinking, oh, well, this sounds great to me. You know, I've worked in my industry for so many years. I now am thinking about that, or this is making me think about going into further education teaching, but they're a bit frightened. They're a bit like, could I do it? What would your advice be to them? How did you get over it?
For me, it was tough. It was fighting because it was a new industry. You know, when you've come from somewhere that you know, like the back of your hand, into a new career, it was hard. These days is so much easier because you can go into it part-time. I didn't have that option, but I know a lot of colleagues who've come in on a part-time basis to see if that's what they would like to do. Actually, at the moment at our office, we've got a colleague who is retired. He worked in business. I'm not working with him directly, so I'm not sure his full background, but he worked in business and he's retired, and he's now decided to come into teaching. So he's volunteering, coming in once a week to shadow the teachers to see what it's like and to see whether that's the journey he would like to take. So, and there's quite a few of us. And then we've had colleagues who, one of our other colleagues retired three times.
Oh, wow. As if once so wasn't enough, yeah.
He worked in business, came and started teaching business and economics. And then he got to retirement age. And then he said, I'm retiring. Fine. End of the year, we did a retirement party. He left. The following year, we need somebody. I'm here. Can I come back? Is that 3 years running?
Did he want the parties? Did he want the parties? Is that what this is about?
Honestly, 3 years running. So, so if, and he worked part-time as well. So it was easy for him to, you know, look at his schedule and say, you know what, actually I can take on a day or two of teaching. And so that's what's helping a lot of people, just starting it part time. And then if you want to increase your hours, you then do. Our colleagues in beauty have got their own businesses. They run their own beauty salons and stuff, but they then have 2 days where they come in and do the teaching. That same thing, that if you love an industry, you want to be part of grooming those who are coming into that industry, don't you? So So that's how people are managing it now. For me, I think as soon as I started, I fell in love with teaching. So it was that passion to stay in the profession that kept me going. The first few years were hard because, like I say, you're learning the ropes. And it's not, I don't want to lie to anyone, it's not an easy job. If you're working with people and you are passionate about what you do, then you know, you tend to feel a little bit stressed sometimes because you want the best for the people you're teaching. So yeah, so that's how I continued 17 years on. I'm still going. Yesterday, my students were asking me whether, you know, I would change professions. And I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I love it.
That's amazing. No retirement parties for Sharon so far.
No, not yet.
Well, I was also going to ask you about those initial inspirations for you wanting to go into this. I mean, no, you know, as being a teacher now yourself, you're obviously mentoring younger people and people in your industry. Was there people that you had as mentors that sort of initially sparked planted those seeds in you to sort of enter into this profession?
When I was in college, yes, I had a couple of teachers. My English teacher was very inspirational. I don't know, it's just the teachers I've had over the years. I know when I first came to the country, one of my business teachers was a Ghanaian lady. And I used to look at her and think, oh my God, I wonder if I can be like her, you know. But at the time, I wasn't thinking of teaching. It was just the fact that she was an academic and she was passionate about the teaching, you know, and the way she carried herself when she taught us. And now I always look at myself and think, oh my God, I can't believe I actually ended up like my teacher that I used to look at. You know, and some of the comments I get from my students are similar comments that I used to say to her. So the teachers I've had over the years, when I started teaching itself as well, the colleagues that you work with in teaching are very supportive. So everyone you work with, I think it's difficult. If you're in an environment where you're not supported, it's difficult to stay. And the job itself is demanding. So you have to have some passion for it as well. But the thing is, once you start it, it's so easy to feel that passion because it's got that almost instant job satisfaction in that you can see the difference you're making. If you walk into a classroom, you deliver a lesson, and at the end of it, the students are walking out and they're saying, thank you so much. You know, I really enjoyed that. Or I didn't quite get this. Can you explain it to me again? And you explain it to them and you can see, you know, that light bulb switching on and you're like, oh my God, yes, this is it. So it's one of those jobs that once you do it, the passion comes. I remember when I went for my interview, this was very interesting. They, at lunchtime, so it's a whole day interview. So I did the lesson and then I was given lunchtime with people that work as teachers to talk to me and tell me about the job. And I remember listening to all of them and they were saying how hard the job was. They were saying, oh my God, it's such a tough job. It's not an easy job. If you're not ready for it, don't do it. And then all I did was ask them how long they had done the job. None of them had done it for less than 7 years. So I went home thinking, they were saying it's a hard job, but they've stuck with it for 7 years. One of them had already been teaching for 15 years. So I was like, it can't be that bad.
They're still there.
And I remember once I started working with them, I kept reminding them. I was like, you know what? If I hadn't figured out how to work out that you had been in the job for that long, I could have easily been put off because you did say, and I said, I could see where they were coming from. You know, there is a lot involved, like any other job. But the job satisfaction keeps you there and the passion and the fact that you do see the difference that you're making.
That's really beautiful, isn't it? And like you say, I mean, there's always challenge to every single thing that you do. But if you've got that passion, then you'll persevere, you'll continue. And I think, you know, from what you've said, there's that importance, isn't there, about being a role model for future generations of workers to kind of help, I suppose, pass on the legacy of your experience. And that must be a really beautiful, beautiful thing to sort of to pass down. I think also what you've, from what you said, that there are some, I mean, you mentioned quite a lot of benefits in terms of, you know, the teacher being quite flexible. You don't need an academic degree, which I think, or a prior teaching qualification, which I think is a really important thing for people to hear, because I'm sure a lot of people would automatically assume that. And you said you can do kind of training on the job. So you, like you said, you can earn an income whilst doing it. I mean, maybe at this point we should kind of just explore about actually what further education is, because again, it might be a term that many people haven't heard before. In your mind, Sharon, what is further education?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Further education would be, to me, it's teaching people the industry skills they need to be able to go into an industry and perform the job effectively.
Yes.
So if you think about health and social care, yes, you're working with people. So there's the academic side of it, the books, the learning, the reading. But at the end of it, you are interacting with an individual, you're working with someone. So you need to have those skills on top of your academic knowledge as well. So further education gives you that opportunity to not learn something just academically, but actually acquire the skills from people who've been in the industry, who know exactly what it's like to be in that environment. So for example, like when I teach, I talk about my experience in care. I give examples of stories of what I did with the elderly people that I worked with, any challenges that I faced in the job. I give those examples so that the students have got a context of what it is that they might encounter when they're working. So I would say further education is people in industry sharing their skills and grooming those people that they want to come and join them in the industry.
Yes.
Or to come and take over when they retire.
Yes, I think that's wonderful. And it really interests me actually about how varied sort of further education teaching can be, you know, things from, like, say, kind of training in plumbing, healthcare, academic subjects. But I guess that, you know, a lot of people might assume, well, further education is people sitting in a room, you know, with a sort of a board in front of them and lecturing. And obviously there is some of that is the case, but actually it sounds to me like it's much more varied. You know, people are in workshops, you can actually get hands-on experience, which I think is even more important now, because I think when we're talking about, you know, careers advice or people wanting to do a job, it's really important, like you said, to get the context and to give people an idea about actually what is this going to look like in your day-to-day life, and how would your life look like? Because that, I think, will help people then sustain themselves in that job or that career.
Yeah.
But also it just gives a richness, doesn't it? It's not 2D. It gives that kind of colour and that kind of 3D-ness, I think, to learning, which I think is really beautiful.
Yeah, I personally, I think if you look at it this way, if you want to be a nurse, who would you want to teach you about nursing? Mm. A nurse, isn't it? So that's what further education is about to me. In my team, we teach health and social care. In my team, there's me who's got a background in working with the elderly in social care. We've got a former midwife who teaches health and social care. We've got a former GP who teaches health and social care. We've got a colleague who came from the childcare industry who worked with young people who teaches that. We've got a colleague who came from youth work who worked with young people, youth people. So that's the team that teaches health and social care where I work. So we've got the broad understanding of the whole industry, and we've all, my former colleague, she's left now, she was a former A&E nurse. So these are the people who've been on the ground who are now saying, look, I can share those skills that I learned, and I can hopefully build the same passion that I had for that industry in you. My sister, who works as an apprenticeship teacher, still continues to work as a support worker for people with learning disabilities. So it's the person who works in an industry who then teaches you, tells you the ropes of that industry, more or less. So, but in a learning environment, I guess.
And from what you've said, I mean, that list of people, about 7 or 8 people just then that you gave, really does show that, you know, anyone who's working in any industry, whatever that role might be, can become a further education teacher. They have the skills necessary that can transfer over. Yeah.
If they're just able to teach or explain to somebody what their job is about, that's what it is. That's what further education teaching is. So, yeah. I've just thought about what you were saying, that the podcast is about things that are good for you that you had forgotten about. I didn't come into teaching because I'd forgotten anything, but I can tell you that I love the fact that at the moment I teach at a college where I teach 16 to 19 year olds. And that has been really good for my well-being, because I'm working with young people. I feel young, you know. I'm pushing on 50. My students, when I tell them my age, they're shocked. Yeah. They're like, really? Because obviously I've been working with young people for so long. I know the quirks, I know the lingo, I know certain the music, everything. So when they ask me the kind of music I like, I will name what I like, as well as what I know they're listening to.
Yeah.
So that relationship. But honestly, they're like, really? You know, I get shocked. I've got an Instagram account. I've got, you know, a Snapchat account. They're like, really? You've got Snapchat? Yes, I have Snapchat. So little things like that. For me, I come home smiling because, yes, I've been at work. Yes, there's a lot of work to do. But there's those little moments with the people you're working with that help you, you know, so you walk away with that good feeling that, oh, that was a nice lesson. You know, yesterday we were having parents' evening and a few parents were saying, oh, my daughter said she loves your lessons, you know, and that makes you feel good. You're like, okay, so I am doing something that is helping someone, or that's making somebody feel good about coming to college. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, talking about that, things that are good for you, teaching may be good for you. It is for me anyway.
Oh, that's so fantastic to hear, Sharon. Really love it. In fact, that was the question I was going to ask you, is that you know, you talked about job satisfaction, but you can see when you're talking about it, how much it lights you up, that feeling, and the fact that you are able to be a role model to these young people, and, you know, express your love and care for that particular industry as well.
Like I say, with the industry experience, that's one thing. I was talking to my colleagues the other day, because I've come from a care background, my classroom is different. The way I teach is different from, say, a colleague who teaches motor mechanics, because it's a different industry, it's a different field. We sometimes go around observing each other's lessons to learn, you know, different ways of delivering and teaching and making the lessons exciting. And it fascinated me initially. Now I'm kind of used to it, that colleagues would come observe my lesson. And then when they give feedback, they say, your lesson felt like a care environment. Mm. And for me, I'm like, that is good, because that means I've brought that part of my industry skill knowledge into teaching. And so that means probably my students feel cared for. So then, you know, they don't feel like they're coming and the teacher is just imparting knowledge. They feel that the teacher also cares about them. And, you know, and that's a good thing. So, yeah.
I think that's incredible. And I like Giles said, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, your career teaching the students, I can just feel your energy and your passion for it. And I do a little bit of undergraduate teaching, and I feel the same, that actually I think I stay, or hopefully stay young, because I'm around that kind of energy. And also the lovely thing I think about teaching is that, you know, the teacher is learning constantly themselves, because the students will ask you questions that you've never thought about, or actually you have a kind of a two-way exchange of information. So it's not a one-way sort of stream where the teacher's only teaching the students. You get a two-way exchange, which I think keeps you on your toes, keeps you interested, keeps you curious. You know, I'm sure, you know, teaching and using skills in that way kind of keeps your brain very active. And again, we were talking about, you know, people as they're getting older in their careers, potentially for some people, to kind of keep that energy, that kind of that use of that academic knowledge and their brains and cognition and all of those sort of skills that are so important, I think, to you know, as we get older, to sort of age well or to live well. There are just so many different benefits to that, I think.
Yes, definitely. It keeps you going. That's what it is. I've got a neighbor, an elderly neighbor, who is a former geography teacher. And the same thing, when he had to give up teaching, he didn't quite give it up. He stayed. He joined another school as a governor, because he still wanted to have that impact. So he, as a governor, he gets involved in recruiting teachers, supporting students, and, you know, just going into the school environment. He's a 70-year-old man, but if you see us together, honestly, people laugh. He's a, you know, how are you two friends? But because of that passion for teaching, and he has loads of stories about his students and stuff. I always laugh, because every time we go for coffee or for a meal and he's talking, there's always one story that he will end up dropping a tear when he's talking about it. I said, you have to stop crying about this thing. So that's the impact, isn't it? I look at him and I think, okay, you know, he's retired. He's reminiscing about his life, and you can still see the passion in him at 74. Do you know what I mean? So, and that's inspiring to me. I'm thinking, if my retirement is going to be like that, well, bring it on.
I think also we never know, do we? I think especially with teaching, we never know the impacts that we have on other people's lives, and we probably never will. My aunt was a teacher, and sadly she passed away recently. We went to her service, and a lot of her colleagues from the school that she taught at for 50 years attended. And so many other people just said, you know, that she changed their lives. And I think we forget, or we never really quite know about how much our role, our jobs, our passion can really influence people forever. Like Giles was saying about the teachers we remember when we were small, you know, really how and I remember teachers at my school who completely changed my outlook, or I'll never ever forget their kindness or, you know, their insight or their inspiration. And we just never know, do we, the sort of ripple effect that we have on other people. And I think that's a really beautiful way, if someone's sitting there thinking about going into further education teaching, just thinking about that and that kind of impact you can have, I think is incredible.
Yeah, it's true. I've always said, if you look at it or think about it, most celebrities that you see on TV, I think Adele was the last one I saw, whenever they're asked about somebody that impacted their life, in most cases, it's the teachers. They always mention a teacher. So it's one of those jobs that you are making a difference. It doesn't matter how little you're doing of it, whether you teach one day a week or 2 days a week, you are still making an impact. You're being part of somebody's journey in their life, and you're making that contribution towards that journey. So they will probably at some point look back and appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, Sharon, it's been such a delight to talk to you and hear your journey and the contribution you're making to so many students. So thank you so much for your time, and keep doing what you're doing, because it sounds amazing.
Thank you. It was lovely talking to you both, and I hope you continue teaching right now, because that's really, you know what it's like. It's just, you know, the passion just
is lovely. It's something that I'm very passionate about, and I've always really enjoyed explaining things. And just for people listening, Sharon, if they are sort of listening to this and they're inspired by your story, they think to themselves, wow, you know, could I do this? But there's a little part of them is like, oh, maybe I couldn't manage it. What would be maybe like your top sort of three tips or the headline message that you'd want them to hear about going into teaching further education?
I would say it's flexible. So it's easy. You can go in a day a week, an afternoon a week, 2 days a week, or, you know, once you found what you want to do, it's flexible. It's easy to get into. So it's not, if you're somebody who's changing careers, you don't have to need another 2-3 years of qualifications or whatever. You can go straight into it with your industry knowledge. Research it. There's the website gov.uk/further education. If you go on that website, you can see the different industries you can go into. Because like you said, some people might be sitting and thinking, I don't know. Can I go and teach painting? I love painting. Yes, you can. You know, can I go and teach, you know, whatever it is. Just go and look there. Most industries, there is an FE course that needs somebody to teach it. So I would go and research that. Those are my three tips. But I would say, be warned, you might fall in love and never retire.
Never have that retirement party. Never have that retirement party. Or maybe have a couple of retirement parties and then just come back again.
Yeah, I remember saying to my husband, I see myself as an 8-year-old professor still going.
Well, why not? Why not? Sharon, as Giles said, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I have to say, your energy and just your passion is extraordinary. And I think it's beautiful. And keep on spreading that amazing energy. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
If you want to find out more about the campaign, you can visit gov.uk/teach-in-further-education to find out how to begin teaching in further education. You can also contact the Teach in Further Education Support Service for personalised advice on how your skills could lead to opportunities within further education. Don't miss out on the chance to teach in further education alongside your current career. Good luck, and let us know how you get on.
luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.